Hey, welcome to the Catch Up. Great one today. The PM Rich Uncle Mal called through after being overseas for a week.
Yeah. Mm.
I talked about the confronting nature of clothes stores and the guy standing on the other side of the curtain saying, is everything all right in there? It's like, what could possibly go wrong?
Do you know the difference between men and women in that scenario is that we love it when we are being attended to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we do not want to walk out of that change room with any other clothes than our own on because we're not convinced they look any good. So you need an assistant to come up and say, do you need another size? Would you like another colour?
Did you know the curtain sometimes, if you're 6'3", you can see over the top?
No, I didn't know that.
Do you girls like that?
No.
Hi. I don't work here. Do you need a hand? That looks good in orange.
No.
Okay.
Can of worms we discussed.
I'd be good in retail.
Okay to dob. No,
we've got that in. We've got that in brown.
Hello.
In a tan. Hello.
Nobody wants anything in brown.
No, especially not at Tenerife.
Went between the sheets as well with Robin Bailey. Plenty on the catch-up today.
Oh, no, what was back in our between the sheets? What are we talking about?
We talked about how often men and women are faking it, basically.
Orgasms. Yeah. I always fake it just to make Lou feel better about it.
Rich Uncle Mal joins us every week and fresh off the plane from his USA excursion. Good morning, PM.
Good morning to you, Marto. Never short to speak to you and the Moon Man, and hello to you, Robin Bailey.
Oh, hello there, sir. You've just returned from the US. How did it go?
I had a terrific time on holiday. I heard you say that, Brendo, and it is, in fact, correct. I just holidayed with Lou. We had a terrific time reacquainting with a close ally and celebrating a 100-year friendship. It was lovely to be referred to by the correct name, by Donald Trumpet. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
And I also had fun watching Joe Hockett and All You Can Eat just upending a tub of shrimp into that massive gullet of his, like a pelican, just gobbling it down. What have we done to that man? Sending him to the US. It's like sending a man to Vanstone to Italy. Come on. High carbs isn't the thing.
Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call you Trumbull. But did you speak to them about gun control?
Well, one doesn't like to give unsolicited advice to a friend, and if the Americans can't work out that 18 school shootings in a calendar year is absolutely abhorrent, then there's no helping them. At a glance, they really are a bunch of F-wits. But no, I didn't mention anything about that because, you know, dead children, that can really shred your buzz, as the kids love to say.
This has been the biggest news since you've been away. The Nationals have a new leader, Michael McCormack. Tell us about him.
Well, Michael McCormack's a fine man who has worked hard for the people of the... like many national leaders, we don't know how much about them, do we? Doug Anthony, Ian Sinclair, even as far back as Artie Fadden. Nobody gives a tuppenny continental. A.K.A. a shit. I mean, really, who cares about the people from the country? I hate going out there. They've always got muddy shoes and they look dirty.
Oh, sir. Were you singing any songs? You've been on that plane for a while.
I'm singing this one, Marto, because I know it's a Triple M favourite. And because I've come back from the States, it's a real redneck anthem. Copperhead Road by Steve Earle.
Oh, dear. Yep.
Well, my name's John Leafhiddemore, same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. He only came to town twice a year. He'd buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. All together now. Everybody knew that he made moonshine. It's a song about a law enforcement officer being shot in the woods by a bunch of rednecks.
Okay. Well, rocking anywhere today, sir?
I really brought the mood down, haven't I?
Yes.
Well, why don't I just go with Triple M Rocks Brisbane? It's good to be back, guys. Bye now.
Warning. The following segment contains serious, sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
Brendo, have the yellow cards ready. I'm doing this one all of us. I'm doing this one because I feel like it's a very important community announcement, and I think with a lot of guys listening, this is going to help you understand the women that you are with, if of course you are with women. But it's done on a survey of over 20,000 people by Live Science magazine.
Oh, so they, 20,000.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people surveyed here from right around the world, and they are trying to understand just actually what happens to couples while they're having sex. So this particular byline is, do you reach climax, whatever, Orgasm, am I going to say that? Yes, I'm going to say
the
it once. That's all the only time I'm going to say it, right?
Oh, you can say it all the time.
No, I don't want to. It makes me squirm. Anyway.
Can we think of other words?
What about
okay,
what about a word?
Okay, go on.
Explosion?
What about, you know, call it,
no,
yeah, that.
No.
The height of your sexual performance.
There you go. Okay, so you now we are now.
Oh, the releasing, no, of pressure.
But pretty all of those things. We now know what we're talking about. So
call it the gas pipe.
Do men and women do that? Every time. Boys, are you listening?
Well, yeah. You know, that's an interesting question. Two men, just yes, because they, and I'm going to use a word here that I will only use once, when they ejaculate.
Thank you.
Is that an orgasm? Do we orgasm every time? Because sometimes it's more intense than others. So,
okay, well, the answer
does that
qualify?
Question, yes, they're blokes every time, surely.
75% is the only.
What are the other 25%?
Well, you give up, go home. Yawn, roll,
oh, you knock
go
off,
to bed.
Oh, come on, play the full 80.
So what? Are you meaning to tell
you
me that there
yourself
are not time where you just go, actually, I'm done now?
Oh, I've been grinding too long here.
Twice,
it's over.
Yeah, maybe twice in my whole life, I reckon.
Twice in your whole life.
I reckon, yeah. I like to get the job done.
You're pretty committed.
I'm the type of guy, and I was like that at university. I didn't really want to finish my degree, but I did.
Right.
And I'm like that. With all the jobs that I do.
I reckon that's a really good analogy. I love to finish the degree. So once you've quoted a job, you make sure it's finished.
I've never, and you can ring me up if anyone thinks that I ever walked away from a building job, I always finish things.
No, I have absolutely no doubt. But does
you
that mean
the
if you're
only... You lay the foundations, you do put the frame up, okay, you got the roof on, and then...
Okay, so
you always
mean...
finish with a nice lick of paint.
Yes.
Stop it. All right, Lotto, does that mean 25%. If you're a bit iffy, you just won't go there? If you're gonna
commit,
I've
been married a long time though.
Okay.
Beyond iffy, so, I just still want to get the dough. Still want to.
So when you've done a building job, you make sure there's no gaps left. You go around and just whack polyfiller in everything you see.
No more gaps.
Moon, what about you? 75% is what they're claiming.
Yeah.
Is that you?
I would be higher than 75%, but I've certainly walked away from jobs more than twice in my life. Where I go, I'm sorry, but this is a full rebuild.
This is a knockover.
Do you want the female statistics or are we done?
No, I do.
Okay. Right. Yeah, this is the community part of this whole segment.
All right, that's
because for women, it is only 30%.
Oh, must try.
Really?
Must try harder,
boys.
Sorry, didn't speak to my wife.
Yeah. What? Well,
didn't speak to my wife, 100%.
Says you. Yeah. Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, just
she loves average sex.
Yeah, back in my day.
Now, here at Triple M, the papers get thrown. What time do the papers get thrown every morning? 4:30. Righto. Mm-hmm. Robin and I race out and grab the moon. You're not so interested in the papers, but...
Mm.
Yesterday, no, when was it? On Friday and then again this morning, there'd been rain. And the deck where the papers get thrown onto here, we're near the William Dolly Bridge at the northern end of the western end of the city, the deck was wet and the newspaper got wet. And we went, don't want that newspaper. And it just reminded me, I said to Robin, you know what my dad used to do? He used to go and turn on the oven because if it rained at home and the paper delivery guy came, we grew up at West Chermside, the paper delivery guy would blow a whistle on the wet days so you could run out, dad would run out in the dark, snatch the paper off the grass before it got too wet. He'd go inside and he'd go, front page is ruined. He'd front the first four pages, he'd throw them like spaghetti hanging in the oven. And Robin said her father did it too.
My dad did exactly the same. And my mum, way back in the day when you used to get milk bottles, very important, delivered to your front door. Mum used to give us absolute curry if either my sister or myself got up and took the cream off the top of the milk.
Did she scoop it into something?
Yeah, she would scoop it and save it, and that would be the cream for the dessert that night.
Too much.
Wow. What about, I do remember my mum darning my father's sock. So a sock gets a hole in it now, what do?
Throw it in the bin.
In the bin, but no, darning
and
the
undies.
Heels of the socks.
And undies.
Darning an undie? I've never seen a darn an undie.
All right.
Mind you, I remember my dad having holes in the back of his undies to lower like worn through.
Mum would do that. And then what did the undies get used for? Cleaning the car.
Cleaning the car. That cleaning was always so dodgy if they were white and you could
Can
see
Can I just
skin
check? Up. Is this? Yes.
I used to go, what is this?
Now you know. The other one was, this is it. We're talking about tight ass parents or we called it scrounge. Our parents were great scroungers. But as soon as, and I realise now what she was doing, we used to have breadcrumb, you know, often meat was breadcrumb. I realised that was when the meat started turning green.
Yeah, it started to turn, so you couldn't see it.
So now we would throw it out or give it to the dog. In those days, get the breadcrumbs out so the kids don't notice the rotten meat.
Also, I remember my mum actually scrubbing meat. So, you know, the top part is the bit that smells. So scrubbing it until it was red again.
Are we done?
Scrubbing meat?
Nothing went to waste back in the day, so we want to find Brisbane's thriftiest parents. The Big Breakfast
what
on
about
Brisbane's
soap?
Triple M.
Oh, God, soap.
Combining bits of soap to make one big soap.
Yep.
Back in my day.
I'd ask Tuesday edition, Marta.
Are we calling it the thrifty parents? Parents, they were...
Our dad used to dole out the pocket money, but you only got as much as your age. So if you were 5, you got 5 cents. If you were 6, you got, because back in the day of coppers.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got to about, you know, 10 and 11 and just did the whole arc up, because my dad was a secretary in the Amalgamated Metal Workers and Shipwrights Union, so we went on strike for wage accord. Yeah, he bumped us all up to 20 cents.
Words. Oh, the big platypus.
So on 1-2-3-5-3, it's the thrifty things your parents used to do.
Paul of Race View. What was it, your mum?
Yeah, basically my mum. Mum grew up in wartime London, of course, and she didn't realise the war ended in 45. The rationing kept going, apparently. We grew up in the 60s and 70s over in Strabag on the five brothers and sisters and
oh,
I.
Oh, wow.
And Mum used to go absolutely nuts if the soap, if you threw out any bits of the soap, she'd just collect it all. It was, doesn't matter what flavour, colour, taste or whatever it was or what was in it. She'd collect it and boil it down. It smelled disgusting. And, do something with it, make little new bars of it or something.
Oh, dear.
And, soap on a rope.
I remember Mum used to go absolutely nuts.
What was soap on a rope about?
That was Avon. It was a thing in the 70s. Thank you so
incredible
much, Paul.
Concept.
Do you know
I don't know why it was on a rope.
My grandma, she did, I mean, was an adult during the war, but I do remember once that she'd forgotten to buy those seamed stockings that were really fashionable. Because during the war they couldn't get them, she actually used a magic marker and put the black stocking on and then drew a line up.
Oh, gee.
Saucy grandma.
Isn't that why all our girls were having sex with the American soldiers here in the Second World War to get stockings?
Yeah, pretty much. That's all it took, peeps.
That's all it took.
Scott of Cara, what happened? What was it your mum did?
Yeah, my mum was during the Depression in the 30s, used to go around and pick up the remainder of the cigarette butts for her dad because he was a smoker at the time.
Oh, right, and then get the tobacco out and make a bigger
roll
cigarette.
Them up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And now that roll has fallen to ice addicts in bins around the mall.
Oh, is that what they do? Yeah. Oh, gee whiz, that's sad.
Times have changed, Marto.
Do you think the reason why we've only got people talking about way, way back when is that, what, in the 80s or 90s it turned into just be so consumer and you just chucked it out?
Yeah, well, we obviously that kind of like thrift was so good for the environment. People weren't as wasteful, but now we just chuck stuff out like crazy.
Yeah, they say washing machines are only built now to last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, God, yeah. I lost one the other day.
You lost one?
No, one went down. I tried everything.
Back in the day, yeah.
One
they
day
were
longer than warranty. That's all anything. That's my theory.
Yeah, no, it's true enough.
And antiquation, they call it, built-in antiquation. But occasionally one comes off the production line that is perfection and will last forever. Hello to my Fisher and Paykel. What a machine.
Breakfast on Triple M.
I think it's safe to say that over the last couple of days, the whole of Queensland has been interested and somewhat aghast at that awful road rage story that has now put a man in hospital and literally is fighting for his life.
Did you see him? Brock Prime. His dad died 5 weeks ago and he moved into his mum and started working 10-hour-a-day, 6 days a week as a concreter. And anyone who's ever done concreting will know He was just to keep the family house because they were going to lose it after his dad died. So he's a good kid.
But also what actually happened, we're still not 100% sure. The police are looking for surveillance footage. But basically what we have heard from the news is that it was they were playing cat and mouse. He was in one car. A van with 13 people was in the other car.
Bucks party.
Oh, is that? Oh, I didn't realise it was Bucks party.
I heard that last night.
Anyway, they pulled over and then this guy was set upon. And basically now he's in hospital. And they're comparing his injuries to that of a stroke victim. He's lost the use of one side of his body, and they're not even sure if he's going to survive.
Right. You know, you have to be very careful on the road when, you know, and I'm one of those people that has started a lot more fights than I've finished.
Yes, you so tell us about this.
You can bring some trouble towards you that you don't need to. It was way back in 94. I was on Kingsway in Melbourne and I could hear cars tooting behind me and a car was splitting the lane up between two lanes of traffic.
Yeah.
So people were just peeling off as this car's going crazy. He gets beside me and I give the guy the finger. And then he just decides, it's me. I'm going to be the one. So he's swerving towards me. We go through. I got frightened. I went through a set of red lights. He's following me. He comes up to the next set of red lights. I can't move anywhere. There's already
stopped
traffic.
Beside you or behind you?
Pulls in front of me, gets out, kicks my window in. It's shattered and then just starts beating me through the window.
Okay, eventually,
my God.
See, this is my point. When has a road rage incident ever ended well?
Like, it doesn't end
when
well.
Have you ever
never get out of your car and don't antagonise other people? If someone's losing on the road, let them go. They're gone in a moment. It's not going to cost you any time. But I ended up with facial injuries. Cops were called and they eventually caught the guy. He was an ex-biker and he was a heavy dude. But in retrospect, I would certainly just slow down, get out of the way, and let him.
Did
go
you learn a lesson that day? Did you stop birding people?
Oh, yeah. The bird is like, what kind of red rag is that, the bird?
Yeah.
And just why waved, would you bird someone?
Honestly, wave to them. It hurts them even more.
Campbell of Carina. Good morning. What happened with the road rage?
I live my life on the road. I'm a sales rep. I see it every day, road rage. People are just crazy on the roads. And what I've done several times now, when people want you to pull over, because there's some sort of road rage thing going on.
What?
Pull over, do exactly what you're saying, stay in the car, lock your doors. When the guy's maybe a metre and a half away from your car, as long as it's safe, plant boot and get out of Dodge. It's just not worth getting out of your car and confronting them.
But Cam, how do they make you pull over? Like, why would you pull over?
It's like they say, it's cat and mouse. It happens to me once a month.
They herd you into the curb.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been on a good driving behaviour bond because I became complacent behind the wheel. So now that's reprogrammed my brain, and I can't break the speed limit if I want to.
Right.
So and often these are happening because often, you're not speeding.
More often than not, it's because I won't speed.
Wow.
Yeah, so people get frustrated
it
behind
what lane you're in.
Okay, thank you.
He wasn't giving the bird to anyone. He was just going about his business.
Troy,
well, he's going by the speed limit, and that's the thing. Most traffic travels over the speed limit. If someone's behind you and they want you to move along, they're flashing their lights or going crazy.
Hang on. Can I just ask? That's never happened to me. Why would that happen once a month to him?
He's on the road a lot more than you.
Okay, yeah. Troy of Joiner, what happened?
Hi, guys. Yeah, probably about 18 years ago, I had my 16-year-old son in the car with me, and we were coming onto the Bruce Highway, heading south on the merge, just around where Rokabulcha is. There's two lanes that come into one there.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I accelerated up. There was a four-wheel drive in one of the lanes. I can't remember which one I was in. I accelerated up. There was heaps of room, and I overtook him. He obviously didn't take kindly to being overtaken. I didn't cut him off. There was heaps of room. He started flashing his lights behind me, but then went absolutely nuts. I must admit, I did give him the bird as well. And it was the red flag, and suddenly he just went absolutely ballistic. God. We're coming down the highway, down the Bruce, and I was actually hoping that there was a police car or something, but there's never one around when you actually want one.
How close behind you was he?
Oh, you have no idea, mate. He was right up the clacker.
About a metre.
He almost less than that. And then he swung out, swung up the side. He tried to swing across. You know how the police do that action of hitting your rear wheels or, and
make you spin.
Spinning you off the road.
Yeah.
Kept trying to do that. I accelerated up to around about 150, 160.
Oh, my God.
He stayed with me.
My
son was on the phone to Triple O at the time, and there wasn't a damn thing that they could do. They just said, keep driving. And try, obviously not avoid an accident. They told me not to speed, but there was not a hope in hell. He just would have pushed me off the road. And at the same time, he then started swinging around a what looked like a tyre iron out through his window and everything.
So how did it end?
How it ended, I ended up driving to the police station at Petrie, and they looked him up because we had his rego number and everything. And they said, like you, Mooney, they said that this guy was an absolute psycho. Known to police, and if we had gotten out of the car, I probably would have been beaten to a pulp as well.
Did you get a video of him? Did young bloke video?
Unfortunately, I really wish that we had.
Yeah, so that went over the period of about 25 k's or so.
Yep, that's right.
So these people are driving. Is he still got a license, do you know? Do you know what happened to him?
No. Never ever found out.
You don't need to stalk him, no.
No, but I want to know, because I drive the roads. If that kind of bloke is still driving, that's appalling.
I think what did we see there? Two out of those three cases we heard of was bird-related.
Yeah, smile and wave, people. Smile and wave.
Jeez, you get your education where you get it. I was sitting on the lounge with my 18-year-old Harry last night, watching the Channel 9 news, and this story came on.
A Gold Coast man who used a hidden camera inside a coat hanger to secretly spy on one of his employees in the shower has walked free from court. Brenton pleaded guilty to filming the woman multiple times over a year, but claims he never watched the footage.
Of course, because that makes all the difference.
Just checking. That's all he's doing, just checking.
Yeah.
Just making sure things are going okay in the shower and nothing wrong here.
Drainage is good.
So this is a story to all peeping Toms, upskirters and perverts.
Yes.
This one goes out to you guys.
Camera in. My son has just looked at me and gone, what is that? And I said, oh, there's pervert people and there's these little cameras.
How do you get a camera in a coat hanger, though?
Well, I did look up on the internet.
A little bit too interested, Mark.
Maybe in those crochet.
Well, what sort of coat hanger? Weren't you interested? How do they get a camera that small these days in the steel? And I thought maybe in those Nana, your Nana used to crochet things. But it's actually the wall hangers. You know the things you screw into the wall?
Yeah.
Well, here, listen to the guy on the
ad. Bad reporting.
Yeah.
Once it's mounted, now we can start the recording on our Code Hook spy camera. You can now find out what happens in your home or office while you're away.
Yes,
no,
that's
you
it's
can't.
For the home or office.
Don't do that.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that.
So this, find out what's happening in your home or office or your colleague's change room.
You're all creepy.
That is
We're
wrong.
Not the guy who puts him in his. We're just making a social commentary on.
And that's the pervert channel on YouTube, is it?
Robin, I don't want you to lose faith in men. We're not perverts. We're just checking.
We're analysts. We're
checking up your skirt. We're just checking. Just making sure that things aren't going wrong.
It's a big breakfast and we're just checking.
Okay, so I don't think this conversation is going to make me overly popular because I don't think it's a populist idea. But last night on the news on Channel 9, they were talking about people being able to dob in someone.
Triple M News.
Well, it's been a busy night for emergency crews performing a number of swift water rescues. 11 calls for help came in, but not everyone needed rescuing. Some managed to get to safety themselves, including a mum at Bellbird.
Illegally, all you need is a smartphone.
Yeah, okay, so here's my thing. I hate the word dobbing. I hate the culture in Australia that says we're not supposed to dob.
Do you prefer to key the side of the car?
No. I just, the premise, and I know what you're talking about.
Well, if somebody parks badly, key them down the side and they won't do it again and write a note going, cop that.
I'm talking about dobbing. I'm talking about the premise in Australia, and I know it comes back to our convict past where people weren't allowed to tell authorities because, you know, we were all convicts way back in the day. But the whole idea that you can't tell someone when something else is going wrong drives me insane, particularly as a parent.
Gee, I'd like to have you on my team. You'd be really handy.
Who won't dob and why won't they dob? I mean, dobbing is wrong. We're not a culture where we dob because we're anti-authoritarian and you take the law into your own hands rather than call the authorities.
That's a real solo attitude, the
it's not. Okay, so can I just take two steps back from that? And I understand the culture that is attached to it within Australia. But as a parent, our kids get told from a really young age, oh, you can't dob. How then do you know when they're going to be in dangerous situations? How is it that you can handle it if a brother is not willing to tell you as a parent that something really bad is going to happen? Because in Australia, we don't dob.
We just got to, you just said it's about your boys, isn't it?
Well, it's not just about my boys. I would say that one of the reasons we've got bullying at such absolutely epidemic proportions is that people don't feel that they can put their hand up and say, this kid is doing the wrong thing, because in Australia, we don't dob.
We don't dob because you don't want to be a lagging dog who gets shivved in the dunnies, you know. That's why you don't dob.
I don't think shivving happens all that much at school.
I don't even know what that is, and I don't want to ask.
He's talking about people. It's more like
I've seen prison dramas, and that's why you don't dob.
Yeah, that's different.
Why is that different? The whole cult...
Dobbing in jail?
No, okay.
It's a matter of survival. Like, that's what it is.
But dobbing as a thing. Like, why can't
But it's a matter of survival. Like, you lose all respect and trust from people when you start dobbing.
But why?
I'm a fan of dobbing car parking if they park over my driveway.
No. Hold on. Okay, it's anti-Australian to dob. Remember that campaign where it's like dobbing somebody that was, you know, flicking cigarette butts out their windows or whatever? Just no one hardly called. Like, they abandoned the campaign because Australians just won't dob.
Didn't they dob in a drug dealer? That worked a bit better.
Yeah, Operation Noah, I think it was, for a while. Yeah. Well, it was down in Victoria where they dob in, you know, your neighbour if they've got a crop in their back garden. Didn't work. Okay, we don't want to dob.
Well, can we deconstruct the whole premise of dobbing in this country and just stop it being this thing that people don't do?
It's a low act.
Mm. It's not. Why is it a low act? Why is it a low act to inform
someone? Because it shows there's no trust or loyalty from you.
But if someone's doing the wrong thing, don't you want either yourself or the authorities to know?
Would you rather the authorities or a person you like, who, even if they're doing the wrong thing?
I would like to know about it. I really genuinely would.
This is a
would.
Mother thing, isn't it?
It absolutely is a mother thing. But we come at this counterculture because in Australia you don't dob.
Don't you reckon we've got enough rules already in Australia? Do you know we're the most over-policed and overlawed place in the whole wide world, and it's a pain in the ass to live here in so many ways, and it's because people are dobbing that's one of the reasons we have so many laws?
Oh, okay, anarchy's better.
Well, I'm not talking anarchy. Do you remember how life used to be? Have you ever been to Bali? How everyone just gets through life. Ain't no one dobbing and following all these stupid laws over there.
Yeah, well, the pure idea of anarchy is exactly against your argument, Robin. You govern yourself. You don't dob on other people. You take
let everyone else.
You all make some very good points.
Breakfast's can of worms.
No one likes a dibber dobber unless your name is Robin Bailey. No. Is it okay to dob? You think it is?
Well, I just think that if we could get rid of that terminology, we might learn a little bit more, particularly from our children, and things like bullying may not be as prolific as it is. Max of the Gold Coast, what do you think?
Guys, I just think if it's an Australian to dob, I mean, when you look at places like North Korea where, you know, if someone sees somebody doing something wrong, they dob them in, and if they don't, people end up jailing their family, their parents.
Germany. Yep.
What's that?
East Germany with the Stasi, their secret police. You got rewards for dobbing other people in, and that's where you get to.
The communist countries, yeah, I get it. I think there's probably a little bit of common ground between we go to that extreme, Max, but I take your point. Thank you.
And the thing is, all right, let's say you're sitting in school and the teacher used to say, or probably still does, we're not leaving here until you tell me what happened. What do you do next?
Well, you tell if you want to go home.
Chris McDonald always used to draw a big draw. A chalk penis on the board.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Duncan said, we're not going home till we find out who did that. No, I was dobbing.
So then what happened? Did you go home?
Well, eventually she has to go to netball, the teacher, or the cricket, or
eventually,
Zumba.
Yeah. Well, she rubbed it off the board and Chris McDonald outed himself. Said, don't rub it, Mrs. Duncan, it'll just get bigger.
Oh,
all right, Duncan. All right, Chris. Outside McDonald.
Less from you, Moon.
Rob of East Brisbane, what do you think?
Hey, how you doing? No, I reckon if you're doing the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing. I've heard of a story of a bloke having a bit of a fling on the side. A friend of mine has him. He stopped it. Marriage is all good. So, you know, Marta, if your wife's playing up, do you want to know?
Oh, dear.
No, I'd like someone to do the same thing. She did it to somebody else too. Told a girlfriend, I'm going to tell your husband. I threatened a dob. And it saved their marriage.
Oh, dob threat.
Dob threat.
Okay, that's a whole new
world.
Don't
stop
it. Thought about that. Okay, Crystal of Waterford, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think about dobbing?
It is okay to. However, at my old school, I was bullied really badly. And it didn't matter how many times I told the teachers or anything like that. It either got worse. After a while, I just started getting even worse. And after a while, the teachers just started to believe that I was making all these stories up. Yeah. And they just stopped caring.
Oh, that's awful. That's why you went to another school.
Mm.
How old are you, Crystal?
I'm 16.
Oh, well, well done. Thank you. That was pretty brave of you to ring a radio station and tell us your story.
How's the new school going?
It's much better. My friends are amazing and we're all a bunch of idiots.
There you go.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect. You get a radio
show.
That's
what you're meant to be at
school. And Julie of Browns Plains, what do you think about dobbing?
I work in a prison, so dobbing is a very big no-no when I work with the prisoners.
Yeah.
But I'm completely honest with them when I sit down with them and say, listen, there are certain things that I'm going to have to disclose and other things that I don't have to disclose. And they're quite happy with that.
That's good.
Okay, so what are the kind of things that you disclose?
Self-harm, harm to others, things like that, drug use and all of that type of stuff. But other stuff, like they're quite open with me about their backgrounds and things like that. And, yeah. They know what I can and can't say and what I need to disclose.
What an interesting job.
Yeah, I've seen guys get in trouble for dobbing, like a lot of the guys that end up in protection and things like that.
Do you reckon they listen to us in jail, Julie?
I think they do, actually. Yeah, they've always got the radio on when I'm walking around the exercise yards and that, and they've always got the radio on. I'm not sure what station they're listening to, though.
Okay. Big shout out to everyone in cell C.
G'day, guys.
They're listening to us. Good on you, guys. Julie gone, has she?
Yeah. Julie's gone. We've got the results. If you would so like them, 60% of callers saying it's not okay to dob, Robin.
But 40% says it is.
Yes.
And maybe we could have a ruling that if it's someone's at harm, then we can dob.
I like that.
Well, we've established also through you, Marta, that the threat of dobbing is acceptable.
Ooh.
You can threaten to dob, but you never actually do
it. If you don't stop it, I'm going to dob.
You put the onus back on that person.
Very powerful.
We've learned something today.
We have. Thank you for your calls at 133353. It's the big breakfast.
Dobbin' Robin.
On Triple.
Hey, first of all, let's answer Moon's question. Tell everyone what it was you wondered yesterday.
Who is our oldest listener? Because I'd been watching a special on, I think, SBS or ABC about these old Olympians or, you know, the senior Olympics. And there were people who were in their 90s doing high jump and sprinting and endurance events, and they'd kept their bodies in peak condition all the way through. So there's this huge, like, coterie of 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds getting together to compete. And they're very competitive too.
Yeah.
They're really interested in doing their, you know, PBs. So I thought, who is our oldest listener? Is there someone out there that tunes in every day and has been doing so since Triple M started?
All right, let's take some bets.
I love the M's.
There are not many. I've seen survey results and stuff, and over the age of 80, well, there's not many people alive, but over the age of 60 and 70, we don't rate very well.
I don't know, maybe. If they like good rock music, if they're a bit of a fan of the Stones and Pink Floyd, we'd be okay.
Some of my mum's mates, like they're close to 80, they'll listen just to report back to mum how I'm bagging her. That's about it.
Yeah, but not every 80-year-old's listening to the ABC or, you know, whipping off a letter to the council. Young people these days with their hair, their ideas. I'm sure there's some oldies out there.
Well,
just
say
like,
the number really slowly. One.
Oh, stop it.
Three.
Oh, that's not
three.
Don't be so patronizing.
133353.
Say that again. I'm just pushing my good ear to the radio. Say it again.
133353.
Hey, Chad, you're a sex pest, Nev.
Start dialing now with your actual dialing thing.
Do you want people to call? Stop it!
Should we set a benchmark? What will we be impressed with? Where do we want to start?
I reckon over 80. I think there's someone out there who's over 80.
No one over 80.
Yes, there is.
Over 70?
Yeah, okay. Over 70, around 70, over 65.
We just want to hear. If you can get up to the 80s, I mean,
geez.
We won't make it past late 60s.
Okay, let's see. 1-3-3-5-3.
You're 72. You're not listening to us.
Stop it.
We'll take your calls next. And thank
three
you
of the Rolling
listening.
Stones are over 70.
Very true. Thank you for not listening to the ABC too. They've got enough listeners.
It's only because they can't work out how to get back onto AM.
What did he say?
Keith of Caboolture.
Don't forget, Triple M's been going 38 years now.
I know it has. 2nd of August, 1980.
Is that what it was, 2nd of August?
2nd of August. Okay, Keith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I've never really asked a listener this on air. How old are you?
70.
Oh, there we go.
What are you wearing, Keith? 70.
Stop it.
Keith, what are you wearing?
What am I wearing? Yeah. I'm wearing a pair of denim jeans and a T-shirt, and I've just driven my wife to work. Coming back, I'm going to get my 4.5-year-old up and get her ready for preschool.
You've got a 4.5-year-old.
I love Keith.
Yes, Keithy. So now, Keith, it says here you've got a bit of a bone to pick with a lot of 70-year-olds.
No, I've got a bone to pick with you guys. I mean, I listen to you, and I also, admittedly, I listen to B105 as well.
Oh, that's okay. That's our sister station.
Yeah, we'll allow it.
Yeah.
No,
I hate them.
Okay. that's okay, Keith. So what's the point you're going to make about us?
The point is why do you think that the older generation won't listen to you?
Well, I don't. I reckon that there's a lot of rock dogs out there who are, you know, very happy with locking on their
development.
Where
are you going to get drums and guitars apart from here, Keith?
Exactly. So, I mean, I would think that there were quite a few number of people, especially if they're driving and things like that.
Oh,
you know, if they're working or something, that might be different. They might not be allowed to listen to the radio.
Right.
I'm sure people do.
Well, wonderful to have you on, Keith. 70 years of age. That's actually young.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you. Good luck with your 4.5-year-old.
And okay. not your classic 70-year-old, but still had a complaint.
Beverly of Wynnum West. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Robin.
How old are you, Beverly?
I'm 72.
Excellent. How long have you been listening to Triple M for?
I've been listening ever since Mardo started.
Jeez, I was on with Fat Cat in end of 2000, we were.
And you used to talk about your little boy and his lack of wearing underpants and talking about your...
Oh, Bev, you're too good. He's now 18 and he'd be listening right now.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Superman ones, I think they were.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man ones.
Oh,
you
you're
had to
funny.
Set the example, remember?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's so cute.
You're too good.
And I think you guys ought to remember that age is just numbers.
God, yeah.
That depends on what you do.
Exactly.
And
right.
I'm involved in so much volunteering stuff, I'm never home. And Marto, I belong to the Brisbane Coast Guard.
Oh, down at Wynnum, who saved me.
Yes,
a very embarrassing moment that was. did everyone in the
I
office
heard
tell
all
you?
About
yeah, I know.
It
was. I'm still a member, I think. But you guys were great.
Oh, good on you, Bev. Thanks for that.
Good on you,
Bev. Thank you, Beverly.
They're so good. Everyone join the Coast Guard if you've got a boat. Bloody
so
hell.
So you can save Marto.
They saved my ass.
Don of Mitchelton. Morning.
Hello.
Hi, how old
Morning.
Are you? We're up to 72 as the oldest so far.
73.
We'll there
take
that.
Go.
I think we'll take that as a winner.
How long have you been listening for, Don?
I've been listening to when the test program before the station started to air 2 hours beforehand.
Okay.
Oh, were they just playing music?
Yeah, what was the test program? Testing 1-2-3 Triple M.
A little bit of that and playing music.
So, Don, just for everyone else who does remember, Triple M was the first FM radio station in Brisbane, and that's not why we ran this segment. We just wanted to see who was old. But do you remember, here's the test, Don. How's the memory going? What was the first song Triple M played in 1980?
Oh, come on. There's real no idea.
Okay, well, we can tell you it was this one.
Take your memory back, Don.
Oh, Don.
Don?
Can you remember, Don?
Shut those friggin' budgies up.
Little River Band, Don.
Do you live in an aviary,
Little
Don?
River Band.
Cool
River
change.
Band. Little River Band, yeah.
There we go. Mm.
Good on you, Don. Sing along, brother.
Yeah. Well, my son is probably, he's a roof tiler and he's probably listening thinking, oh, God, what's he up to now?
Good on you, Don. It's a big breakfast.
What's Don up to? That's a segment.
Hold the bus because Barry of Tarragindi wants to have a chat. Hello, Barry.
Hello, how are you?
Barry, yeah, it was all over, mate. We've played a song, we've had ads. What are you telling us you can beat 73?
Yeah, just slightly. I'm 84.
Oh. 84. I knew there was going to be somebody over 80, Barry. Well, now, done. Did it take you a while because you had to actually dial in with a dial phone?
Yeah.
Not right.
Hey, Bad. Barry, have you got a mobile as well?
I have, but I'm using landline.
Oh, good one. Oh,
good on you.
Barry. How long have you been listening for?
Oh, we listen every morning.
Okay.
What time do you get up, Barry? Traditionally, the more wise and old you get, the earlier you get up. Are you 4:30?
Only about 7.
Oh.
We just only lie there for 10 minutes and just wake up, and then just we get up at 7 o'clock every morning.
Is there a wee? You and your wife?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Oh,
what's your wife's name, Barry?
Shirley.
And does Shirley like Barry Triple M too?
Yeah, we've listened to her for years.
Oh, good one.
So why, Barry? Why do you listen to the M's instead of, you know, ABC?
Well, we just like the wireless going when we're having breakfast.
Good one.
Many, many years ago, we used to listen to 105,
yeah.
But then we started with 104 and Cincinnati and the others have been on. We just always just put it on just for background because we just like the sound of the music and the dialogue, Barry, and all that sort of stuff.
So Barry, occasionally, at the moment, I'm the oldest one on the team and I'm the voice of wisdom. I'd rather you were. If we have trouble deciphering whether something's smart or not, can we occasionally ring you?
Oh, I suppose, I can't see why not.
Yeah, just if we need some guidance on some point, because you've got more wisdom than we have. What's on today, Baz?
I'm going 10 pin bowling this morning.
Of course you are. Barry,
that's unreal. What's
your PB, Barry?
Oh, I'm not real good. No, 131, that's about the best I've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
But
well,
I'm not real. I'm erratic.
Yeah.
Good one and then bad one. Good one and then bad one.
Keep
good
it in the right alley.
Bowl a couple of turkeys today for us, Barry, and we'll keep in touch. Is that all right?
Okay, then.
Thanks, Barry. Bye.
Keep up the good work.
Oh, bless.
Weed is a nut, Barry.
We'll be talking about something. We'll just go, what would Barry do here?
What would his jurisdiction be, do you think?
Do you know what I loved?
Well, hearing bowling, for one.
In that exchange with Barry, hearing the word wireless.
Did he say wireless?
I just listened to you on the wireless.
He said wireless.
We're setting up soon. We're going to go bowling with Barry.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Bowling with Barry.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
And did you think Shirley goes?
Yeah, Shirley goes.
She's long, yeah.
Can we call
a couple of
can we call that promotion bowling for Tarragindi?
It's the big breakfast on Triple M. We'll catch you tomorrow. Don't waste your life.